Well, good morning, Fire Church. Are you alive? Are there any men still alive in the house today? Have you signed up for the men's advance next month? We still have room for half a dozen or a dozen more. As long as there's rooms there, Kim will make available to us space. So don't think that we're full. We're not. I need every man in the house to be there. It's going to be an important weekend for us to be there. Just checking on you, making sure you're all there. We're here. All right. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you. Your presence is always here. We thank you the glory of God shows up. And we ask you to be in control of this service. Holy Spirit, do all you want to do in this house today. Let these words permeate, touch, change, transform, encourage, because we need you this morning. So we thank you, Lord. Come and have your way today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, one of my most favorite things, let's put that slide up there for me. One of the most favorite things I like to talk about or teach about is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's something about the fire of God and the presence of God in our lives that we miss out sometimes because we tend to neglect Him. So this is going to be more of a teaching than a preaching. I would rather teach than preach, but I might get into it. You can't ever tell. I may come out there and touch a few of her. You just never know. Because I believe in being led by the Holy Spirit. But there's so many folks, you know, I've had the opportunity to pray for, and I'm going to brag on the Holy Spirit, not me. I've had the opportunity to pray for people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit by the hundreds, if not thousands, in more nations than I can remember where I've been these days. And they've all received. And I'd say the vast majority of them received that initial evidence of speaking in other tongues, which gets people confused, and they don't know why they're doing it. And so part of the explanation today is being baptized in the Spirit, but how do we get there from the start? And then what do we do about speaking in tongues? And I know for some of you, it may be a brand new subject. Some of you may have been taught it's not in the Bible. I've got news for you. It's in there. And it is for today. It is still an ongoing process beginning on the day of Pentecost. It is one of the foundational tenets of the Christian faith. Be born again, baptized in water, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Those are the three things that mark our lives in this Christian walk. So I want to give you a little just some scriptures. So you have to go with the scriptures. So I hate to take Chris's nice slide down that he made for me. Thank you so much. I mean, I know what I had in mind, but that's what we come up with. He threw it in the fire, and that's what came out. I like it. I like it. But that works, doesn't it? I simply want to go over some scriptures because some folks say that this is not for today and that the baptism of the Holy Spirit died out when the last apostle died. Well, that's not true either. So I want to just go over a few scriptures. There are five major events, okay? Five major events. On the day of Pentecost, I'll read this to you, Acts 2, 1 through 4. I'm going to read through these quickly. This is a refresher for some, and this might be brand new knowledge for some, okay? When the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That's one great event. That's the first event. This is where all this started. Okay? 8 years later, in Acts chapter 8, new converts in Samaria. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, It had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's John's baptism. That's the baptism into salvation. And Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is still very active today. That's the second great event. 8 years later. So it didn't stop from the time Jesus was resurrected. This was the moving, the great move of God that is moving still continuously today around the earth. All right? And then the third great event was Cornelius and the Gentiles 10 years after Pentecost. In Acts 10, 44 to 46, while Peter was still speaking these words, he was a long-winded preacher, by the way, and the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they'd heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So, speaking in tongues is also a form of worship. I'm talking about, when I talk about the gift of tongues today, it's the personal gift for your personal lives, not the gift that's manifested in the church body. So many aspects of being baptized in the Spirit, I'm only going to hit on a few small things today. Just a few things. And then the fourth great event was the Ephesian Christians, 20 years after Pentecost, Acts 19 and verse 6. It says, when you read these chapters and you get the whole picture of the context, but I'm just giving you the bit that works for us this morning. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Expect to be prophesying, people. Amen. Expect to be praying in tongues with interpretations. We're not practicing these things. We're a little anemic in the church body at large because we're not practicing the things that God has given us to do. We're not stepping out in measures of faith that would bring the realization that God is moving in power. Yeah, we want to be full, okay? And then the last event, I think, is that at Damascus when Paul received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts 9, verse 17. Then Ananias went to the house and they entered in it and placed his hands on Saul before he became Paul. And he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, the one who knocked you off your horse and brought you to your senses, he is coming here, and he has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." He's not missing words here. And then how do we know he was spoken tongues? Acts 14 and 18. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 14 and 18. He said himself, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." Must have been a reason for that. Must have been a great reason. People are still, now you see, that was almost 2,000 years ago. Still, people are today receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of God today, 2,000 years later, and he's not stopping because some of you don't believe it. Your unbelief is not going to stop God. It's not going to stop the power of this word from going forward. It's just not. You can believe it or not believe it. I believe it. I've been believing it for 50-plus years, and I've been exercising these things. They work. And I'm always excited about the Holy Spirit. I asked the Lord, "How do you want me to do this thing today?" He said, "Act like you're in Mexico, one of those places where you see it all happen." I said, look out. I'm just saying I want it. You need it. I want it. And I wanted you to receive it today. I believe that everybody in the house is going to receive a touch today. I have to believe those things or I wouldn't be up here doing it. And it's of great importance that you open up your heart and believe, I can receive something from God today. Pastor Chris said, tell somebody, you're going to receive something special from God today. And I believe that. So let's just believe something big to go on. So being baptized in the Holy Spirit, Acts 2 and 38, I'm going to do a lot of scriptures, but then we're going to talk about some things. Acts 2 and 38, let's put that up there. Peter replied, "Repent," say repent, "and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Won't cost you a dime today. Cost you nothing, except it's free, a free gift. And then Luke chapter 3 and verse 16, let's put that one up there. Fast fingers. John answered them all, "I baptized you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Listen, we need the fire. What does the fire do? The fire burns out the chaff, the dross. It burns out the sin. It burns out the things of the worldly thinking that we have. We need that. We can't do this by ourselves. I know I can't do it by myself. I remember from my heathen roots that I couldn't do this by myself. That's how that works. And then Acts 1 and 8. But you will receive what? Power. Say power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the other ends of the earth. I've been to the other ends of the earth, and this works. It works every time. I've laid my life down to do this work for 50 plus years. And I'm here to tell you, it still works. Again, you don't have to believe it. I believe it. It works for me. So, the thing about this is, that we have to start where Pastor Chris started with us the other day, the last few weeks on repent. You know, part of the great signs of the massive revivals in our history began with repentance. And that's where we started. That was the great mark of the Brownsville revival, which we were a part of, was repentance. Thousands and thousands of people came in, and when they'd come in the back door, the presence of God, just His presence was there. And all of a sudden, the power of God would hit them, and they'd be on their face crying, calling out for forgiveness, asking God to forgive them. I'm talking about anyone who walked in the door. We're talking about from the taxi driver to the lead pastors of massive churches around the world came under conviction. And we need not to fight that today, because this is the Holy Spirit's job, is to convict us of these things. So the first step in Acts 2 and 38 is repent. Get the sin out. Okay, I'm not telling you to be perfect, because we're human. We make mistakes, but I'm saying, for the most part, get the sin out. Actively, proactively, keep the sin out. Get it out, keep it out. All right? He said, repent and then be baptized. But here in Micah 3 and 4, it says, they will cry out to the Lord, but He will not answer them. Instead, He will hide His face because they practice evil deeds. If we don't get the sin out, Isaiah 59 and verse 2, he says, but your iniquities, your sin has made you a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face so that He does not see you and He does not hear you. So listen, let's get the sin out, keep the sin out, because we can get forgiveness, right? Yeah. 1 John 1:9 works every day. 1 John 1:9 works every day. If you confess your sins, He does what? There it is. See? Listen, you can't deal with life, and you can't deal with sin on your own. You have to have the Holy Spirit in there, because the devil is desperately trying to take you out. He is working every day to convince you that God does not hear you, because he knows that if you get right with God, filled with the Holy Ghost, there's going to be a power and a passion and a call to get you moving out of these seats, doing things you've never done before. That's important. You're going to get some of this today. Listen, Galatians 5 and 16 says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which generally leads us into places of temptation and sin. And the Holy Spirit, I am so grateful for the Holy Spirit in my life. From the moment I was born again, from the moment He came to me, I was dying and going to hell, and He came to me and He saved me. 30 days later, He filled me with the Holy Ghost. He filled me with Himself. Received the gift of tongues. And before we started, the next thing we know, the power of God was moving. It's just His great power moving in me. And I've seen Him work in my family. I've seen Him take sickness and disease and cancers out of my family. He's taken me at times when we had no food, we had no money, and we had no food in the house, and God sent food into the house. We've been in places where I've had major healings from cancers and all kinds of things, where the Holy Spirit took me through. He walked me through the death of my wife, Barbara. He walked me through that thing. And some people felt like, why aren't you angry with God because He killed your wife? He didn't. He called her to heaven. And then He gave me Toby. Stand up, Toby. I want them to see how good looking a wife God, how He has blessed me. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. What can I say? I stay close to her. She makes me look good. Most of you guys need to stay close to your wives, too. They make you look good. Sin separates us from God. Listen, this is some of the foundational teachings, the truths, before you get to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all right? These are just general steps of who we are. This is written in our bylaws. This is written in our statements of faith here in this church. It's here. Sin, I remember Steve Hill, for those of you who know him back at the Brownsville days, he would say, sin is anything Jesus wouldn't do. You have to think about that one. They say, would Jesus do this? No. Well, don't do it. Mm-hmm. That second step is to be baptized, and we won't talk about this much, it's just the symbol of the new birth. You repent, be baptized in water, not sprinkled. Lord forgive you, Lord bless you if you haven't, but don't take any of this, any kind of guilt or anything, but you need to be dunked. You need to be soaked, saturated, filled with the Holy Spirit. Buried, raised alive into a new life. That's what this is all about right here. It's that physical symbol of that inward spiritual conversion of every Christian. I remember my day when I was baptized in water. It was a great day. I had the opportunity to baptize my own daughters back in the day after they'd been filled with the Holy Ghost at 3 and 4 years old. You don't think, hey, listen, you don't think it's for you when kids can get it before you, before us as adults? I mean, that's an amazing thing. Daddy, what is this speaking in tongues? I explained it to her. We were driving somewhere. She said, can I have that gift? I said, yes, in the name of Jesus, receive the gift of speaking in tongues and being filled with the Spirit. Wow. Talk about the car floating on over to Walmart or wherever we were going. What an amazing day. What an amazing, and they still love Jesus. I mean, after all these years, hey, my youngest is what, 50? My youngest is 49. My oldest is 50-something. It'll come to me later. They'll remind me when I look at the calendar. Well, you just like me, and you know it. Don't give me any of that looking around business. Let's see. All right. What is the conviction from the Holy Spirit? First, it's that conviction of sin when the Holy Spirit reveals an area of sin, pride, jealousy, anger, lying, selfishness, those kinds of things. And what that does, that leads us to run to God, confess our sin, and get forgiveness quickly, quickly, immediately, all the time, as soon as he talks to you. Conviction for the non-Christian, it serves to bring an awareness to their sinfulness and call them to God. For us as believers, it's designed to bring us about to a place of confession, repentance, and renewal of our relationship with God so that he does hear us and he does see us. And he's not hiding his face. Think about it. All right. Generally, repentance is this idea of I've made a promise to God, or at least I'm going to resolve not to repeat the same offense over and over and over. Okay. Luke 13 and 5 says, Jesus said, unless you repent, you all are going to perish. You all, that's a good Southern term. Jesus spoke Southern. Yes, he did. That's how he speaks to me. I'm not sure about you. But we have to proactively work to change our behavior and take steps to avoid sin and temptation, that kind of thing. So, repent and be baptized. There's three baptisms. One's the baptism of repentance, turning away and resisting sin, water baptism, new way of life, born again. Your sin is dead to you. It no longer has control over you to dominate you, to demand from you, you do the thing that God says don't do. So you've been delivered from that. But you can walk in that freedom. We sang about the freedom this morning. We can walk in that kind of freedom. We need that. We can't do this without. And then be baptized in the Spirit. Jesus is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. The purpose is for power. Say power. Power. See, the evidence is manifesting the gifts of the Holy Spirit in power. See, that's what this is for. That's what it's for. How do we get into that spontaneous flow of the Holy Spirit and stay there? Well, I think we first have to prepare ourselves, be born again, repent, be water baptized, be filled with the Spirit, and then ask for the gift of speaking in tongues. Again, I'm going to focus on this just so you won't get confused about anything. And hopefully you won't. But let me do this. I've been praying about this and asking the Lord for days, Lord, how do you want me to say? There's so much to say about it. What happens to the mind when we speak in tongues? Okay. I found this. Researchers at the University of Pennsylvania took brain images while they spoke in tongues, and they found that their frontal lobes, the thinking, willful part of the brain through which people control what they do, went relatively quiet. That's the language centers. In other words, it calms you down, it quietens you down, it puts you in a place of peace and rest. Listen, when the Holy Spirit's, we sense His presence in here every week. How does that make us feel when Pete and the team, all of a sudden we just feel, do we feel that? I mean, it's that Pete, that is so nice. We need that. See, that's a part of what that does. And something about praying in tongues calms your mind, takes the worldly stuff out, and opens up our minds to the things of the Spirit of God. Now we can tune into God with our minds quieted. Turn off your phone if you can. If you need deliverance from that, we're going to pray here in about 20 minutes. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, they speak to God." This is an amazing thing. For no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. This is interesting, as Paul states that there are utterances in which we do not speak to men, but we speak to God. We're talking to God Almighty, God the Creator. Speaking in tongues bypasses our mind, our reasoning, our intellect, because so many folks we've prayed for over the years, they knew Jesus, you know, they had the Holy Spirit here somewhere, but they couldn't get the gifts of tongues out of their mouth because their mind says, "I can't do it. It doesn't work that way. Can't do it. It's right here, but it's there." But the thing is, God understands all of our mumblings. If He can understand us crying like a baby when we are little babies, I mean, He understands all languages. So whatever language it is, it's okay. But, you know, doing this requires faith. Everything we do requires faith. Everything about the Christian life is about faith. Believing in something you can't see. Believing in a God you can't see. And yet we had men and women who were with Jesus in His day who could see Him and still didn't believe. Wow. Why is speaking in tongues so powerful? Because what it does, it keeps, for me, and I think for most, it keeps us continually aware of the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. I'm aware of Him at all times. I wake up with Him on my mind. I have Him on my mind all day long. I go to sleep with Him on my mind. And I can still do my life, work life, do my job, do everything I need to do with the missionaries and whatever. But it's so present. It keeps that reminder that He's there. He's with me. He's in me. He's for me. He's leading me. He's walking with me. He's showing me. And I like that because I don't know how to do that by myself. I don't want to do it. I tell the Lord, I don't want to do this by myself. Well, what hinders people praying in tongues? Generally, it's a lack of faith. It's a poor prayer life and pride. So many we prayed for at revival in the years, you know, it's just a pride thing. And it's an intellect thing because they think, well, I can't understand it, so it must not be real. But let me tell you, you can overcome this nonsense, the hindrances. You build your faith, improve your prayer life, and humble yourself. Simple thing. This is not rocket science, okay? This is simple. Anyone in the room can get this. Every one of us. In Jude 1, 20 and 21, it encourages us to pray in tongues because it builds us up. It says it builds you up on your most holy faith and keeps you in the love of God. Think about that. When we pray in the Spirit, it builds us up in our faith, and it keeps us in the love of God. man, if there's ever a thing that we need is knowing that Jesus loves me, this I know, right? Isn't that good? We need that. So there's something about fortifying our spirit and building ourselves up in the inner man, all right? A man named Harold Bredesen, he was one of the first Holy Ghost guys' books that I read about years ago. He said, the only time you hear about your spirit speaking or your spirit praying is in the terms of speaking in tongues. So when God gives our spirit a voice to express who we are to him in worship, use it. I thought, I can deal with that. See, here's the thing. Why tongues? Because God has to give us a language totally undefiled and pure and holy. A language that has never lied. A language that has never cussed. You know, a language that has never criticized or judged or was unkind or mean, which it comes out of us. He has to have a holy language that he understands. He puts that in us so we can have a relationship and communion with him. He supplies this language that is wholly worthy of his hearing. This is on him, but it's on us to receive it and do it. Speaking in tongues, being filled with the Holy Ghost, it opens up our soul, it opens up our mind, and it opens our spirit to the internal workings of the things of God. It opens up the mystery box. And I'm thinking, I need to know some of that. I don't have much of that. There's something about having our minds linked with the Holy Spirit and with the mind and the thoughts of God. And some folks say, how do you do that? Well, you can't do that. Sure you can. Daniel did it, and it was so simple. Remember Daniel? Daniel 1:17-20, it says this. God gave Daniel knowledge and understanding. And all he told him was, you know, do a Daniel fast, eat veggies for 10 days. What a powerful word. Right? He said, but listen, when I look up the history and the definition in all the languages of knowledge and understanding, this word madada translates like this, divine consciousness, to think like God. Daniel had this gift dropped on him, a divine consciousness to think like God. And what does the scripture tell us? What does it tell us? We have the what? The mind of, so we can think like him. This is being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, to talk with us. And it says in every matter, Daniel was 10 times better and 10 times smarter. Think about it. I want to be 10 times smarter than Pastor Chris, but I'm not. I want to be 10 times smarter than Dr. Brown, never going to happen. I just want to be 10 times smarter than myself. I need all the help I can get, you know. Kenneth Hagin said, some of you may know him, he said, experience has proven that the more you speak in tongues, then the more manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit will operate through you, and the less you speak in tongues, the less the gifts operate. So I know that this gift of speaking in tongues personally is the gateway to all the other gifts. I think it's 1 Corinthians 14, somewhere in there. It lists the gifts of God. And speaking in tongues is the last one. Someone said that, well, that's the least of the gifts. And I'm thinking, I ought to at least have the least of all those gifts. I should at least have that one. I started with that one. Led up to all the other gifts. All the other gifts can be manifested in our lives at any time when God speaks to us to do it. Any time. Every time. If we'll just step out and do something. It's taken me 50 years to learn that, but I'm still learning. I still want to cooperate, you know, with the Holy Spirit. I still want to do that. So there's something about this type of strength that we need. It's cultivated over time. Something we do as we pray in the Spirit daily. One of the things I did, and when I taught the Holy Ghost class at Fire School here, Their homework assignment was pray in tongues for 20 minutes a day without any reading, without any music, without any anything, just them and God. They didn't like that. They didn't know what to do with all that silence. They had a hard time with that. But after the first semester and going into the second semester and even to the end of the semester, I asked them, because they had to turn in a paper saying, I did this much time, I did this. I said, what did you learn? What did you get out of this? And they said, oh, I can hear the Holy Spirit's voice so much better. It seems to be more clear, and I have a greater awareness of His presence with me all the time, wherever I go and whatever I'm doing. That was the point. That was the whole point. And that was just a simple exercise. I pray in the Holy Ghost all the time. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost right now, even though English is coming out of my mouth in my spirit. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost inside because I need help. I've got to convince you of this morning. I can't do it by myself, so the Holy Spirit has to do it. So I'm going to in the name of Jesus. They're going to all receive something today. All they need today, Lord. There's something about a strong spirit that enables us to have Holy Ghost God encounters. This is why we have an Encounter God night on the 15th, whatever day it is. It's to come expecting in a way. Every Sunday we should come expecting Holy Ghost God encounters. Every week, wherever you go, we should have that. There's something about John 14 and 26. It talks about the Holy Spirit being the advocate, the parakletos. The one who comes alongside of us and helps us. He's the stronger one. He's the advocate. That word advocate is another word for lawyer. Adding advice. That's what he does. He speaks to us in a way that we can understand. He's not that mysterious out there somewhere. You know, he's not the may the force be with you kind of guy. Well, he is, but he's not. You understand? He's the one who, yeah, I wrote down a few things about, I said, Lord, how do I explain this? And here's a few things he said. The one who helps us to be confident and content in every situation, especially when the surprises of life come against us. He produces patience and perfect peace in us while we are working with our families, our jobs, ministering to others, whatever it may be. Then he gives us authority to break the power of demonics all around us. We take authority over devils and demons in my house every day. We take authority when we go out in the mission field. When I lay hands on our map of all our missionaries, we bind devils and demons in Jesus' name because we have authority over them, not necessarily the country they're in, but over them and the house right here. We can deal with things right here in the house because God has given us authority through the pastor and the elders to do these things if we just do them. All I have to do is do them. Then he tells us, he says, you can do all things through Christ Jesus. All things. I said, well, that's hard. That's a hard thing. No, he said, you can do all things. And then he helps me to be, and helps us to stay silent when we're ready to criticize or when we're attacked and we want to attack back. He says, no. Just chill. It's okay. Let me deal with it. Vengeance is mine. I said, I want vengeance to be mine. I want to take them out. I want to take my hands out of my pocket. Please do that. See, that's one thing the Lord's taught me over the years. If I wanted to see the glory and the power of God, I had to put my hands in my pockets. And I've had to do this all around the earth. And Lord knows I have got stories, story after story, about being attacked and yet never being touched. Not one time. Not one time. You know, that's for all of us. If we be patient, you know, praying in the Spirit, it strengthens us and it trains us how to wield the sword of the Spirit with power and precision. I learned that when we went into deliverance with people. Sometimes we didn't know what was going on in that person. We just know they were shaking and quaking and just manifesting demons. And we'd pray against everything we knew. Then we'd have to step back and we'd say, Holy Spirit, what is that? And He'd tell us. He tells us every time. And then instantly and immediately, they were delivered. And what a life that we can live. What an exciting path that God puts us on when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in water, and we repent all the time. All the time. All the time. I mean, how do we tap into this spontaneous flow? By faith and believing that we can. You have to go beyond this and believe. Praying in the Spirit unlocks the mysteries of God. He just does. It says he speaks mysteries where no one understands him. But it's no coincidence that the man who wrote most of the New Testament, he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. He is the one who was filled with the Holy Spirit and brought to his remembrance everything that he needed to write in that Bible. I mean, think about this. You know, like, think about Matthew, 50 years after Jesus was dead. How did he remember? Most of us can't remember what we had for supper last week or yesterday. He says, I will bring to your remembrance everything I've taught. And all those who wrote chapters in this New Testament, he had to have brought back the memory of everything that Jesus spoke to them. Wow. How do we know it was right? Because do we still believe it today? What's still the most best-selling book in the world today? The Holy Bible. It's powerful stuff. So there's something about this that God wants us to know. He wants us to have. Help me, Lord. Time is shaking here. You know, it talks about mysteries, and sometimes we just let that go because we think, well, we'll never know. But that's not what the Scriptures say. He tells us in Corinthians 14 that he gives us the Spirit and he will give us understanding. He'll help us understand all these things. Now, the greatest mystery naturally they're talking about here is how he held back salvation and how he was going to use Jesus to save the world and that kind of thing. But then there's just simple mysteries of what's going on in life. You know, there's something about speaking mysteries, having mysteries spoken to you about other people. There's something about receiving words of knowledge about people that need to hear from God. And there's something about a discerning of spirits that can put a stop to demonic activity in someone's life if we'll just say it. By faith, we say it. I was on an airplane flying over to Cameroon back some years ago, and the Lord showed me this picture of two ladies that all of a sudden their nose, was it? No, Cameroon. Two ladies had this massive nosebleed from birth. It would just start. And I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do with this? He said, I'll tell you at a certain time during the service, you call them up. One of them happened to be Emmanuel's cousin. I get to be right. Ho. I hit it once in a while. Not often, but when I do, I'm going to take them. I'm going Wow. But there's something about words of knowledge. You know, I've told the story about this gal, Rebecca, who was going to commit suicide, and God said, I told her, just tell her, I know her name, and she, and it just broke her, and she didn't commit suicide. I'm talking about some simple, amazing things. God will show you things. If you look in the mysteries that he wants to show you, spend some time with him. I mean, I've seen tumors melting off of heads, and I said, you, come up here. Had a knot on the back of his head right here. And all of a sudden, that thing just melted and ran down his shirt. It's not about me. It's about us simply obeying what we see the Holy Spirit doing. If we'll just do it. So much that he wants to do with us. There's something about us. I need to stop. But I thought this was a funny thought. The Lord said, he really said last night to me, he said, you know, how many of you all the time, you know, in the spirit, you think you're so tough? Or you think in the spirit, you're all Arnold Schwarzenegger. But in real life, you're just Barney Fife. Now, that's how God speaks to me. And I said, that makes a whole lot of sense. Inside, I'm, you know, But he says, building yourself up in the most holy faith. That's Arnold. That's doing that. And when we neglect doing that, we look like Barney. Oh, that's as plain as I can get. That's as visual as I can put out there for you. This is cultivated over time, you know. We just have to do it. Let me see where I'm at. I'm just got this feeling we need to get going here. How can we ignore such a great gift as this? How can we ignore this? When it is the premier point in Acts throughout the rest of the scriptures, even till today. This is why the church is weak, because we ignore this. We don't dig deep enough to find out, what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to speak in tongues in our personal life, let alone having messages in tongues in the church and having those interpreted for the glory of God, blessing the people? See, we need to move on with these things. All things are possible here when we do these things. Listen, why would we continue to live our lives without him? Ignoring him. Ignoring him. I mean, Jesus is waiting to manifest himself in us today. He's waiting on us. He's not running from us. He's not hiding his face from us. I mean, all I know is this. This second to my born again experience is the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. And it brought me from being born in a little town, High Point, North Carolina, grew up poor, you know, barely graduated from high school, actually quit high school and went back the next year because the Army was going to draft me. I was at least smart enough to go back to school and get the diploma. And then from all of that, I missed the draft altogether because I had a major kidney operation. I died twice on the operating table. God's been after me and chasing me for years. The Holy Spirit is so valuable to us. It's one thing to have the presence, which we have. We have it all the time. Presence gets so thick sometimes in our life group, they're just kind of laid back. I have to pick them up and run them out. They're just... Of course, they're all seniors, which I am one of those, but there's something about the power part. We're missing the power part. Sometimes you just have to wait and shut up. See, God wants to give us something today. He wants to give us something. And I think it's that extra touch of power that we've been missing because we have the presence. We have the presence. We sense the presence. But I want those power moments. More power, more power, more power, Lord, for your glory, for the one sitting next to us. More power, more power, more power, more power, more power, right here. Shut those eyes. More power, more power, Jesus. Taking out all those little shiny spots. More power. More power. More power. More power. Your word said more power, Lord. Power to heal. Power to heal in Jesus' name. That's your word. That's another of the gifts. Healing. Healing. More power right here, Jesus. More power. There's a whole lot of us who just need more power. We just need more power in life. More power, Lord. We need more power. We just can't live life without more power. And sometimes, you know, the hungry they shine. More power right here, Lord. More power. More power. More power. Listen, this is for us if we want it. More power. Shh. Touch. More power right here. More power. More power, Jesus. Come on. Come on. More power. We need more power. 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 For healing in these knees. The power of the Holy Ghost to bring healing in these knees. In Jesus' name. Power. I mean, we just step out in faith. Power to heal. Power. Power for evangelism. Power for souls. Power. More power. More power, Lord. Right here. More power right here, Jesus. This man is full of souls to be saved right here. Got the words and more power. More power. The grace to find all those. More power, Jesus. More power, Jesus, right here. To be so full. To be so full of your power. To guard his family. And to produce greater spiritual dynamics within his family. More power, Jesus, right here. More power, Jesus. Come on, think about it. Lord, I need more power. Baptized in the Holy Spirit this morning. I need more power today, Lord. To step out in faith and do the things you've asked us to do. There's a song I want us to focus in on right now. I've been teaching on the Holy Ghost for a long time. But in every class, which I feel like this is a class this morning, I always started with this song. And every time I went to this song, the Holy Spirit filled. The Holy Spirit came. He released gifts. Let's play that. Holy Spirit rained down. It's an old song. But I tell you, it's an anointed song. And let me encourage every one of you, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you've never been born again, now today is your day. Today is your day. If you're not even sure today is your day, I want you to come running up here. Just run on up here. Just come on. If you've been unsure about your filling in the Holy Ghost and unsure about your gift to speak in tongues or your calling of God, I want you to come up here. Just come on up here. Just come on up. Just come on up here. This is about you and God, so come on up here. Play that song. Come on.